Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Brian Allen. I'm from Bridges Ablaze, and you are listening to the Brutally Delicious Podcast.
Hey, Brian.
How are you?
I'm
doing
well,
good.
Where are you at? In Texas?
Mm-hmm. I am in Austin. Huh?
What's the weather like over there?
Oh, the weather? It's been pretty chilly, like, the last couple days, honestly. Like, very, very, very cold.
Really? I always picture Austin as being, especially Austin, being really 24/7 warm.
Yeah. No, Austin is, it's like a roulette wheel. Austin, it's like one of those places that it'll have crazy hot summers, but sometimes in the winter is what gets weird. Like, you'll have crazy like ice or snow storms, you'll have like entire city shutdowns, and then the next week it'll be like 70 degrees and then it gets cold again, and then it gets to like 107 degrees in the summer.
That's what I always picture in my head, you know, cacti and the apple or whatever. But anyway, we can get started with Bridges Ablaze if you want. So let's start here, I guess. For those not familiar with Bridges Ablaze, can you give me the 2-sentence elevator pitch?
Yeah, we're a rock metal band out of Austin, Texas. We do what we want, you know?
Fair enough. Yeah. All right, so I'm doing a little research and reading your bio. Walk me through Guitar Center, because I think everyone plays in Guitar Center. How did you zero in on your partner there?
Well, it was really his skill, you know, because he was on like the other side of the aisle. And I just hear this miraculous shredding, you know. It's like, damn, this guy's better than me. You know, and I like try to reply by shredding my best, you know, and he heard enough to kind of get into
That's how it went? You guys were trading riffs back and forth across the store?
We didn't even see each other. The riffs just started happening. And that's literally what happened. And at a certain point, I was like, man, I got to meet this guy. So I turn off the amp, go around the corner. I was like, hey, who was doing that? And then Ruben just raises his hand. I was like, you. Okay, I'm getting your number.
So just to be clear, it wasn't Stairway to Heaven, right? Because there's probably that sign hanging, no Stairway to Heaven, like in Wayne's World.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely not. No Stairway to Heaven.
So then it just took off from there. You guys decided to start collaborating?
Well, I wanted to, but, you know, Ruben, he was very, very involved with a band of his own at that point. They were out in El Paso called Annihilate the Nation, and they were like opening for All the Remains and stuff. You know, they had a really, really cool thing going. And so he was really busy with that. And so I said, hey, do you want to like be in a band with me? And he's like, oh man, I would, but you know, I'm just heavily involved. It took years, you know, but we were always friends, you know, that's the thing. Like, we had our separate bands. He watched me and my other bands, you know, go on tour or do our releases. He would always come to my shows, and sometimes, you know, we'd meet up and jam out, you know, maybe once every month or two, just hang out. And eventually, you know, after years of friendship, you know, one of his projects fell apart, one of mine fell apart. And after just years of, I guess, gaining each other's trust, we just kind of opened up about what we were going through. And we were like, you know, you want to start something? Because, you know, any of the grievances he had in his old projects, I fully understood. And I was always kind of in natural support of him, and I think vice versa. And so we both kind of felt like we would, you know, have a similar vision. It certainly has panned out.
Avoid those pitfalls.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, we have probably one of the greatest, I guess you could call it, like, systems that I've ever, like, had the honor of being a part of. It's really cool.
Are you guys writing together then in the same, like, room, the traditional old school style, or is it emailing stuff back and forth?
It could be both. It really can be all of the ways.
Is there a preference you have, or it kind of just happens?
I would say for me, it usually just starts when I'm jamming. That can either be with somebody, or maybe Ruben, maybe not, maybe by myself. And eventually I'll kind of let an idea marinate long enough, and then I'll eventually track it on my computer over there. And then I'll eventually have a good enough idea to where I feel comfortable, you know, like, hey, I tracked rudimentary drums and bass, and I tried to, like, beef out the demo as much as I could. And then I'll, like, email an idea to Ruben. Sometimes it'll generally work that way. But, you know, at the end of the day, the songwriting process between us is really so fluid and situational. So it really is pretty different for every song.
When you're writing, are you writing the song for how it's going to come across on stage? Like, this will be a good spot for a sing-along or a drop? Or are you writing a song for the song's sake and then adapting later on?
Sometimes. You know, sometimes it'll be kind of evident, you know. We'll just be in the studio, and one of us will hear, like, man, this needs to go here. Oh, this is the spot for a drop. And sometimes it feels natural, and sometimes it's kind of a retrospect thing.
Okay. So, listening to your music, Bridges Ablaze, it's very emotional, and I've read some of your bio. I'm guessing you find it very cathartic as well, because you've gone through some stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, that's really what music has become for me, you know, because I've been in it for a lot of reasons, and some of those have come and gone. But I'd say the most, definitely for now, especially, the dominant reason is, expressing that pain.
Do you ever feel that you've put too much of yourself into a song and you've been too vulnerable?
You know, at first I asked that question, but these days it feels like I almost don't put enough. So I feel like my newer songs are even more vulnerable.
So when you get out there and play them, are you like, oh shit, my family's going to hear that, or my wife, brother, are going to hear this? Whatever I'm throwing out there, is there any sort of that, or just it is what it is?
Yeah, it's kind of it is what it is. I mean, a lot of it's about people that I'm, like, some of the darker stuff is about certain people that I'd say definitely aren't in my life at this point. So it's kind of neither here nor there. Okay. And I've definitely had conversations, you know, with specific people and explained, you know, if they ever had any questions, you know, but yeah, it's mostly it sort of like an it is what it is thing, because I'm just writing my life, you know, from my point of view and expressing it. So
how does it make you feel then when somebody, you're writing a song in Austin, Texas, the song connects with somebody sitting in their living room in India and changes their life? Because I'm sure you get emails, right? This is that kind of music.
Mm-hmm. It is. And At first, it really surprised me, because I really had no idea what was happening. I didn't really even know what I was doing, because originally, you know, years ago, and for most of my life, I had the mindset of a lead guitar player. I didn't see myself as anything more, you know, like songwriter or whatever, you know, doing all the things we do now. And so it's been this continuous evolution. And eventually, you know, I was like, hey, I've got a lot to say. There's a lot of pain. And it just kind of naturally happened in the songs. And I wasn't really thinking about what was happening. I was just like, hey, this is what I'll sing, you know, these words right here. And then getting those responses from people was kind of shocking. But I thought about it and it made a lot of sense. You know, I was like, oh, I guess they must feel the pain. And
music is universal.
Yeah. Yeah, and when that started happening, I was kind of taken back, and it kind of made me feel a crazy new sense of meaning and gratitude, honestly. You know, it made me just feel so much gratitude, because for so long it felt like, you know, you go through life and feels like it's just hit after hit, and at a certain point you almost feel like it's pointless. Like, you're like, why am I even dealing? Why? You know, and then after the songs started happening and people started saying that it was helping them, That's when I had a, I guess, an epiphany. I realized it was more than, it's more than just me, that's for sure. It's about everybody.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.
Right. So I usually don't ask the same question in two different interviews, but I'm going to ask this even though I just asked it previously. Do you feel a sense of responsibility to your fans then when you're writing this kind of music?
I guess lately that perspective has become more evident in my process, because I never thought about like that at first. But now maybe it's not like my primary or even secondary perspective, but I definitely would say it's it does kind of come into play maybe towards the end of the song when the song's pretty much almost done. And then I'll be like, all right, so all those people that could resonate, like, what would this look like to them? And then I'll listen to the song kind of through those ears.
Gotcha. Because, I mean, if we can talk about it, it's in your bio, so I guess it's okay. You deal with imposter syndrome and depression. So you've kind of been in the trenches, right? And you have something to offer.
I would suppose so. I would hope so. Definitely been in the trenches for, good Lord, it's been about 10 years.
And so I'm assuming that music is what gets you through and gets you up every morning?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. At this point, I've sacrificed so much for it. And yeah, there's nothing I'd rather do. You know, I think music is really the blessing that keeps me most grateful, most anchored.
Keep you most anchored. Yeah, I imagine so. So what does this look like? Are you guys going to take this out on the road?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's just a matter of, you know, finalizing a few things with pretty much getting some guys up to speed with the set and getting ourselves ready to play live. But it'll definitely be happening this year. And tours probably pretty soon after, whenever we can take them on.
Are you playing any local shows just to get try these things out, or is it too early?
A little too early, but that's definitely where we're going to start. It's definitely going to be like Austin, San Antonio, maybe Dallas and Houston for sure.
Nice. And for fans that want to find you guys, can you give us your socials?
Yeah, it's just Bridges Ablaze on Instagram, on TikTok, and on YouTube.
All right, cool. And I wanted to go back real quick. I know we're probably running out of time, but are you still doing the petroleum degree from the University of Texas?
Not currently, no, but I do have it over there in the wall, and it has come in. Oh, yeah, yeah, I finished. And I did engineering work for a while, and then I did software, and I feel like the engineering has helped me just in so many ways, even in music. You'd be surprised. Like, I use Microsoft Excel. Yeah. Yeah. And kind of viewing, I guess, Bridges Ablaze as a system and just being accountable in all of the ways with it. You know, like, I use Microsoft Excel for so many things, and I use like a ton of like Google Drive and documentation, and there's a lot of organization to it. And I think a lot of that came from that.
Oh, interesting. Who would have thought? was it tough to walk away from it? Cause I imagine that's a steady salary and a steady gig, you know, with insurance and everything else.
Exactly. Yes, it was. And it still is hard. You know, the other day I thought about, you know, going back, but I'm like, man, I'm too busy. You know, it would be so difficult to, at this point, you know, retain both, you know, cause I'd have to be, clocking in and out with engineering for having to manage, you know, things with Bridges. So.
Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time. I appreciate it. Hope that wasn't too bad.
Thank you. Oh, no, I had a great time. That was a lot of fun. Thank you.
All right, cool. Yeah, I try and meander a little bit, stick, instead of just asking like where the name came from or, you know, the normal questions you get 100 times a day. Well, cool, man. I appreciate you taking the time. Good luck. I don't know if you got a run coming out here to Richmond, but hopefully we'll catch you out this way sometime.
Absolutely. If we're ever there, definitely, you know, stop by and we'd love to say hi.
Awesome. Be well, my friend.
Hey, you too. Thank you.
Cheers. All right, bye.
Cheers.
Hi, this is Chad Nicefield.
And this is Justin Press.
We're the host of Making Waves, the Shiprock podcast, a part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. We're inviting you to sail away with us on an epic journey in musical enlightenment. Every week, we bring you only the best artists in rock music and discuss everything from the cruise to the stage to the saga of being a professional recording artist. We'll have lots of special guests along the way, so tune in every week.
Your stateroom is available every Monday morning, so welcome aboard.